Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Bonjour, Mr. Muted.
I hear there's a recording in progress.
There is. So, Steve.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time getting from there to here.
It's been a long time with your leave lock.
But the time is finally here.
Let me ask you a question, Steve. Who did you like better? Do you like the Dr. Phlox from whatever that one was called?
Enterprise.
I can't think of the name of it.
Enterprise.
Do you like Dr. Phlox from Enterprise or Neelix from Voyager better?
I like Dr. Phlox better.
You like Dr. Phlox better? Interesting.
Yeah, I really like Dr. Phlox. I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually like Neelix. I know people hate Neelix, but I like Neelix. I think he's fine. Like, he's just kind of like, you know, a dork. He's like a dorky cook. But I fucking love Dr. Phlox. Dr. Phlox is dope as hell.
There is... I was rewatching Critters recently, and one of the two of them showed up in that movie, and now I can't remember which one it is. I always get that confused.
You know, they actually do look pretty similar.
Yeah, I know. It's like they look similar, but it's that they have like they play the same type of character.
Yes, they have the same vibe. That's for sure. Yeah.
They're both character actors who kind of are interchangeable, which is not to say that they're bad actors or anything like that. It's just that they're typecast.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's a long time coming. We finally have an answer. Will it be Dungeons and Dragons 5.5 or Dungeons and Dragons 6th edition?
Neither.
It's neither. It's the stupidest name in the history of gaming. What is it called, Steve?
1D&D.
1D&D. 1D. We could call it 1D.
1D.
It's so bad. It's like... I could just imagine the fucking boardroom that they were working in and they came up with that idea where it's just like, all right, guys, we're all sitting around this table. We have to come up with a new name that doesn't scare people like Dungeons and Dragons 6th edition. And it doesn't fall flat like 5.5. We need something that combines all of the D&D together into one Dungeons and Dragons. 1D&D. And then everyone's room's like, yes, sir. That's brilliant, sir. No problem, sir.
Yeah. I think I messaged you this, but like, I think a better option, if they really didn't want to call it a new edition, they should have just called it Dungeons and Dragons. Like, just straight up be like, we're just going to call it Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, that's essentially what they do for 5th edition. It's just that everyone who plays the game or has played the game in the last 40 years of its existence knows that it doesn't matter. It is Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
But it's just, this is the 5th edition of Dungeons and Dragons, and they can call it whatever they like. It's still going to be called 5.5. And eventually over time, they'll just admit that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they can also just have not said anything and just been like, yep, the new player's handbook, new monster manual, and new Dungeon Master's Guide. Like,
yeah,
they could have just said nothing. You know what I mean? Like, there's not actually a need to specify it's a new edition if they're just like, the current books are going out of print, the new books are these and you'll need them, so buy them, nerds.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it. And you know, it goes to show their level of cowardice. I kept on doing like a Werner Herzog the entire time. I'm like, do the new edition, you fucking cowards. So they made their big announcement and they have the new
I would like to see the new edition.
Hold on just one second.
Sure.
I gotta take care of something.
I'm holding on while Joe is taking care of something. How are you doing, listener? How are you doing, dear listener? I hope you're doing well. I hope the day finds you great and excellent. And I hope the weather's good, you know, and I hope you're having a good time. What are you working on hobby-wise right now? I am painting Battletech, actually, doing some shading on the, some mechs, and so I guess they're almost done, actually. That one of the fun things about painting BattleTech is that, you know, the figures are not particularly, maybe it's not that they're not detailed, like they look correct. It's just
okay. I'm back.
Oh,
did you hear me screaming in the background?
I heard some screaming. Yes.
Yeah. I my dog is outside.
Uh-huh.
And he barks to come in. It's just a little bark. He's a little beagle. He barks. And I have three fucking people in this house who know I'm on a fucking call right now. And they're all just up there doing their own thing.
Porthos.
It's like,
you gotta get your Porthos back in the house.
Yeah, I gotta yell at him. No. Okay. I don't know what you were talking about, but I'm sure it's comic gold.
No, I was just talking about, I was painting BattleTech, and I was talking about how the figures aren't particularly detailed, but then I was like, no, that maybe that's not right. Cause they do look like 100% correct robots. They just don't have fiddly details, I guess I would say.
Okay.
So they take washes really well and dry brushes really well. So,
all right. So back to D&D.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I was screaming at the screen of them like, damn it, just do a new edition. They're terrified because they know that it's printing money for them right now, and anything that they do to say that it is a new game in any way, shape, or form is going to lose some of their player base.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they're just afraid of they're definitely afraid of people not, they don't want to repeat a fourth edition, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like fourth edition is a big black mark on their record.
Yeah.
While most of the other editions were fairly successful.
Every other edition was very successful. Every edition except for fourth had massive growth of the game.
Yeah. But you know,
four, I mean, shit. Fourth allowed a literal a competitor company to spring into existence.
Yes. And fourth was that the first one that Wizards did?
No, they did three.
Did they do three? I couldn't remember if they did three or not.
Third edition was the first Wizards of the Coast edition.
Yeah. So anyway, they're doing their new semi edition 3.5, not even 5.5, not calling it 5.5, they're calling it 1D&D. Which is, we were talking about that fifth edition when it was originally getting launched was called D&D Next, right?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was the playtest name.
Yeah, and I right now they're doing the playtesting of 1D&D, so it might actually move from that. It's kind of like their project name for it, whatever.
Mm, yeah, you know, the like, pet name or whatever.
Yeah, their pet name. So it's like, we need, you know, like we would call it like fuck or fart D&D. That's what we'd call it. Like, all right, so here's our playtesting game, fart D&D. It's like D&D, except it's a little bit different. So we're going to call it fart D&D.
It's a little bit farty.
Yeah. I wanted to go over just a couple of the major changes that I read about and was pulled. One is that they're doing a major revamp to races. In that they're trying to get away from the idea of using race in any way, shape, or form. Like that race gives you any sort of what's what I'm looking for? There's not locked, benefits or negatives
locked,
to race.
Locked in bonuses. They're moving away. Which I mean, I actually do support that because I never really liked the, I mean, that's just, it's just bad game design because it's like, okay, you just pick the race that's optimal for your class, which is stupid.
Yeah. No, you are like, right on that one. I like the idea. Well, I've grown up with the idea that races have certain things that give them benefits and certain things that give them negatives. But I've also agree with you in that it has become, well, if I'm going to take an elf, I'm not going to do this class with the elf.
Right. People aren't making the character that they care about. They're just being like, well, the optimal barbarian is the Goliath, so I'm going to play a Goliath because that's that's optimal.
I don't think most people are like that, but I do think there are enough people who do that, that it's an issue.
I wouldn't be so bold as to say most, but I would certainly 100% confirm that most people that I've ever interacted with in terms of who plays D&D absolutely do.
Yes.
and everyone I've talked to who runs games has people in, like, their entire party is made up of players like that. So yeah. I think it's more than you think. But again, that's why I go back to, I'm still a much bigger fan of only humans have classes.
Yeah.
I think that's the best version of it, because it's like, because I like when it's like, yep, playing a dwarf, because you that's are not, a dwarf.
But see, that's, you know what that is, though? That's Warhammer Fantasy World. That's Wifrip.
No, that's old D&D. Old D&D was like that.
No, old D&D was not like that. Like,
old D&D did not have old D&D was like exactly like that. Elf was a class race combo. Dwarf was a class race combo. Halfling was a class race combo. They only got away from that in second ed.
And first edition, you bard, cleric, monk, thief, fighter, magic user.
Those were only humans. You couldn't be a race except for humans if you had a class. Every race was a race class combo.
Okay, so it's been a long time since I looked at the rules for AD&D 1. I will defer to you for right now, but I look forward to the comments in our post to see whether or not you are correct.
Yeah, in original Dungeons and Dragons, that's how it was. Because I think the thing was actually, the class was actually Fighting Man. And there was also not as many classes as you said. Maybe in AD&D, that might be correct. But
yes, that is in AD&D.
Yeah, I'm talking classic. I don't know if AD&D still had the class race combo, but I'm guessing it probably
did. I just looked it up. In the original Dungeons and Dragons, I was looking at my AD&D list. The three main classes were Cleric, Fighting Man, and Magic User.
Fighting Man. Yeah, that's right. Because I remember that was the best name ever.
Greyhawk added Thief and Paladin as a Fighting Man subclass. And Paladin was a Fighting Man subclass.
Yeah.
The Fighter... Wait, hold on. Dwarves and Halflings were restricted to the Fighting Man class, and Elves were restricted to Fighting Man Magic User classes.
Yeah, so they were... So you basically were Elf. And it had a specific like
yeah. If you picked elf, you had to be Fighting Man or Magic User. Yeah.
And it's and you had specific. So
you couldn't
elf
be a cleric
levels.
Or a thief.
Right. So I and most of the forward like going up, or going not D&D but any of the OSR games, just took that to the next level where it's just like you're an elf. Here's how elves level. Here you're a dwarf. Here's how dwarfs level.
Yeah. And that's when AD&D first, you had Bard, Cleric, Monk, Thief, Fighter, Magic User, alongside Cavalier, Barbarian, and Thief. Thief, Acrobat.
Thief's the worst. Terrible class.
But yeah, so they also, in terms of the race stuff, they got rid of half-elves and half-orcs.
Yeah, they got rid of half anything, because now you can just splice your own.
Yeah, you could do a hybrid, which is going to be... I think that's... It is good... In theory, in practice, this is going to be miserable for a dungeon master, for a DM. Holy shit, that's going to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Especially when you have your Aroka elf half, you know, your half Aroka, half elf. And it's going to, you know, it's my elf with wings. I can just fly normally.
I do like the new ancient Egyptian god race. That's pretty cool.
What is it called?
Ard or something. Ard.
I have it written down here. Ardling.
Ardling. Yeah.
Animal-headed beings with traces of the divine in their heritage.
Yeah. They're literally Egyptian god race. Like they're literally Egyptian god race. Like they have human bodies and an animal head. Like
I know. Yeah. You're a big Egypt boo. But to me, this is just a furry race. That's all it is.
Oh no, that's not true. They have plenty of actual furry races.
I know, but I'm just saying it's another furry race.
I disagree. You have to have fur all over your body to be a furry race. These are animal head people. They're also not all universally the same animal.
So, well, I know, but it's just Wizard's way of saying, you know what? We're fucking sick of making these furry races for all these furries. Let's just make a catch-all furry race.
No way. There's no way that they're sick of making furry races. Furry dollars spend, baby. Just wait. If Ironclaw was a better gaming system, so that's but yeah, no, it's I think they're cool. I think they're again, I talked to Angel about this a bunch where I'm just like, I think the like massive amount of goofy races is stupid for Forgotten Realms.
I know you said it on this podcast a bajillion times.
Yeah, and it's bullshit. Like they need to stop doing that. But they're really afraid of doing like branching out into like other. Like I'm shocked that Spelljammer exists.
Well, like, we're gonna go into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they were willing to go outside of the Forgotten Realms. I was just like, oh wow, that's big. But yeah, I don't. I think
I don't know.
I mean, they're making the game how people play it is really what's happening. They're like people are like the classic, or I shouldn't say classic, the like grognardy nerds who are all butthurt about D&D are only butthurt because like WotC is literally making the game more how people are already kind of playing the game.
So they've gotten rid of all of the rules altogether. And they're just putting in, when you open up the book, it plays a video of Critical Role.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, two more things I wanted to mention that I didn't, that I saw that I thought was kind of cool, or maybe not cool, but just worth noting. They're making feats be like mandatory. Like, I don't really want to play with feats. No, you're fucking playing with feats now. You don't get a fucking choice. You have to play with feats. We're going to make this better than Pathfinder in every way possible. Or maybe not better than Pathfinder. We're going to make it a clone of Pathfinder in every way possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate feats. I think
everyone hates feats except for people who play Pathfinder.
Yeah, I don't. I like the concept of feats. I just think the implementation is terrible. There's just too many, you get like a combination of analysis paralysis and then also like, oh, I took this feat I thought was good, but it's fucking garbage. And like, that's like, it's just, feats are more, I feel that feats always just end up being more annoying than anything else. They're like annoying to the player who's not super familiar with the game because they're like, oh, I picked the wrong feat, so my guy sucks now, or this is not good. And they're annoying to the DM when you have the really big power gamer who's just like, well, with these three feats, I can activate this with no action cost. This is a free action. This is a bonus action. And now I do plus 73 seven times, and I do a critical for every hit because of this rare feat combo that I found in these three books. They're all official wizard supplements, so you can't ban it.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly it. It's because feats were optional in my cursory research. That was that when, yes, I know feats were optional, but in my cursory research, apparently feats had gotten horrendous in supplemental material because no one actually spot checked them, right? Mm-hmm. Because no one was playing with feats. So they were like, we're not going to really, you know, have too much spot checking on it. And then it would be like feet auto kill. If you come up against the big bad end guy and you use his feet, they're automatically dead. Yeah. It's like, oh, shit.
Like, man, the feet's pretty good.
So, yeah, that's so feats. You're forced to play with feats now. So that means that Gale Force 9 is going to make a little bit of money off of their little feats card pack that they're going
to sell out.
Yes. And the other one I liked, I saw that was interesting, was that D20s are now, natural 20s are now for everything.
Wait, what?
So anytime you have to do any D20 test, a natural 20 is a critical success.
Oh, yeah. People already played like that anyway. So, okay.
Yeah, it's true. it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, it's like that is literally what they're doing. They're just like, making the way people actually play the game, that's what they're changing the rules to.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's happening. Because yeah, I bet you that someone listening when you said that probably was like, wait, don't they already do that? I guarantee you someone thought that.
Yeah, I mean, more than likely. I was, you know, my big complaint, as I said, with D&D is that there's not enough classes. There's a lot of classes and a fuck ton of subclasses, but I don't think that there's enough classes, which I think are more interesting to play than races. Like for me, races, there's basically, you know, human, elf, dwarf, halfling, maybe a one or two odd ones that you could throw in there. But there are 70, I looked at it, 70 player races available to play in Dungeons and Dragons. 70. And out of those 70, about insane. Half of them are furry races.
That's insane. That's
not really true. There's about maybe 20 furry races.
Yeah. Well, I mean, furry races are the easy, lazy way to make a new race.
The incredibly lazy way to make a new race.
Yeah. They're like, bear people. Yeah, all right, that works.
Yeah. I should say, let's couch this. Out of those 70, a lot of them are legacy races that are no longer like really playable. They have newer updated versions of them. So you'll have something like the Tabaxi legacy, which is different than the actual Tabaxi that's being used right now.
Oh, and then there's going to be the, of course, we're going to get the triumphant return of the Kinder, because Dragonlance is coming.
Yes, well, we're also going to get into that. But so those are like the main big changes that are coming out of it. In reality, the vast majority is not going to affect the player, with the exception of the feats. That's going to change the way that a lot of people play.
Yeah.
And you might not say it, but I'm like, anybody who played third edit and Pathfinder will tell you that once people start realizing how feats work, you're going to see a lot more of a shift back to the idea of Pathfinder, of like a feat playing, where they're going to have like a stack of feat cards. They're going to be like flip, 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 combo done.
Yeah, I hope they just redesign some of the feats then, or make them, because I think they did really reduce the amount you get if you in the optional rules, if you use them in current edition. They really reduced the amount you could have overall, so maybe it won't be so bad. Because I mean, that was the biggest problem, was how many you got in the other editions, because that allowed for the combos. Like, you know, obviously, like if you have a 6 feet combo, right? But characters are only going to have 6 feats at level 20. Who cares? Like, that's fine. Like if you have some busted 6 feet combo, but it basically like ends up when you're at level 20, like that's totally okay. Cause at level 20, you're supposed to be fucking stupid. Like that's,
yeah. Which is why I don't believe in playing anything above like level 15 anyway.
Yeah. I think a last hurrah is kind of cool. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
your character retires.
Yeah. I like the idea of character retirement.
Yeah.
And I think that not enough people do that. They want to play the same fucking character forever, and then they go into fucking, you know, Minds of Phandelver with their level 20 character. Sorry, it's my character. I've been playing them forever.
Yeah, that's,
who cares?
It's weird.
So also with the announcement for the One D&D, they were showing a lot of the stuff with the online D&D, what they're using, that like virtual game space.
Yes, it's very interesting looking. They really did a lot to try and make them look like actual miniatures instead of video game models, which I thought they did pretty well. It seemed, just as a beta, it looks pretty good.
No, I agree. I like that feeling to it. I think what Wizards is doing is correct. Well, a bit from a business perspective, a lot of people are just playing D&D online right now.
Oh yeah,
the idea of getting together and playing D&D is not what a lot of people do right now.
No, I mean, it was already moving that way before the pandemic, and then
yes,
like,
you are correct.
And so
they're just helping out with that. But I just like looking at that, I'm just like, oh, if I wanted to play a fucking video game, I'll play a fucking video game.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really look like a video game though. It just looks like a really nice. It looks like they're doing their best to try and emulate you are sitting around a table with minis, because the perspective is like they said, like when you see it in person, they said like the perspective, it's very small, like it really looks like minis. So I think that's a good thing. I think they're trying to make it reflective of the tabletop experience, which is good, because I mean, in a lot of cases, like most of the time, like just getting people together is such a fucking pain to get everybody in the same spot at the same time, when in most cases you'd be like, yeah, I'll hop on my computer, like yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah, also people can't even do that because they're like, oh, I'm so busy. And then they go upstairs and watch like 2 hours of The Office.
Well, I mean, that would be very rude. I would hope that people aren't doing that.
Oh, they do that.
That's unfortunate. Like for me, I mean, I think, you know, the computer part is just so much easier. It's easier to get in front of your computer. Also,
you haven't left your house in 2 years.
Hey, I'm outside every day running.
But you go right back to your house.
That's true, but I do go outside. the big thing is like, also cuts travel time. Cause I know, I've talked to some people who are just like, yeah, I really, you know, like I like playing D&D, but like where my play group meets is an hour away from my house. And I kind of would not want to do that. And he's like, that's 2 hours driving where I could just, you know, not.
Well, it's actually kind of funny because I was over at, Tim's house. And we were talking about playing D&D, and he wants to do the get together group. He's going to run it, which is great. Or it might be a Frenchie running it. So we'll figure that out. how that goes. But we were talking about how, like, all of us were talking, like, how we hate playing online. And we're just like, and he only lives like 20 minutes away from me. So we're like, it's going to work. It will probably end up working out. But we were all lamenting how the playing online, yes, is nice, but it's also, it takes a lot out of it, out of the experience of it.
Yeah, I mean,
shadow of what it's supposed to be.
The big thing that sucks for me online is Roll 20 is just ass.
It is ass.
Like, Roll 20 is just fucking trash. Foundry is really good and very cool. My issue with Foundry is that it's very, it's a little too smarty pants for me. Like, you gotta know, like, it's like you almost need to know how to fucking program to use it, which is kind of annoying. Like, that's not 100% true, but like, to get the, because you can basically Foundry, you can do anything. So because you can do anything, like, the implementation is difficult if you don't, you know, with all of those things so far. I found that it's harder to do the simple stuff. Like, I'm like, I want to do this extremely simple thing that you think would be easy. Like, example, share a picture with the entire group. Like, well, okay, you can't just copy paste it. Like, we're talking Roll 20. Like, oh, you can't just copy paste it from the internet. Like, I could right now copy a picture off of a article and message it to you on Facebook Messenger, just hitting paste, right? Yeah, I want to be able to do that for my RPG games. Like, well, no, you can't do that in Roll 20. You have to upload the file separately into a folder, and then you can share the folder in the game to a player. And it's like, what? No, I just want a quick, no, yeah, you can't do that. There's no copy pasting. Like, that's that's insane. Like,
no, I completely agree. It is insane.
And so, like, yeah, there's no, so I do agree with that. And I think the tools are shitty. Now, this is not necessarily the caveat, but like, the big thing here is, like, the D&D one looks really good. My issue with it is it's only going to be for D&D. So I don't care, because I don't play.
Well, my also issue with it is it's D&D, it's Wizards taking care of an app. And that means that they have to have someone constantly working on it in order to make it work properly.
Oh yeah.
They are not going to do that. They're going to have someone, like, they're going to, you know, put the whole thing out there, and then they're going to abandon it. Essentially, it's going to become abandonware, and it's going to stop functioning properly.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, and by that, I mean, like, how long before it's going to be, how long before the code starts degenerating and it, you know, it takes on a life of its own, basically, at that point. Why have you abandoned me, Father?
Father, you made me.
You made me in your image. Terrible.
Please roll a d20 again.
Yes, and then they announced
for one D&D.
Yeah. So away from that, they also announced that they're doing I want to say Dance with Dragons, but that's not correct. Dragonlance. Thank you. I also said Dragon Strike. So they're doing Dragonlance, which is, not only are they doing the campaign for it, the campaign book, mm-hmm. they are doing a board game as well.
The board game is super sick.
I wasn't that impressed with it when I saw it.
I don't care about the actual conceptually. Like, I don't know about the game. Who knows if the game is good? I mean, it might be good, hopefully, but conceptually it's awesome, because that is actually it's a standalone board game, yes, but it's also a companion to the supplement, because the supplement has big battles, and it suggests you use that board game to resolve the big battles.
Oh, that's nice. There was I got to look at Wizards' new chainmail, essentially, whatever they're calling it.
Onslaught.
It's terrible. Holy shit. I was like, this is bad. The game itself is not bad, but it's just like, I'm paying this much for this.
It seemed very expensive.
It was very expensive. And yes, it's pre-painted, but those pre-paints are awful. And I don't know why they keep doing those awful, awful pre-paints.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It was bad. And I don't know why we all just can't play the 1988 Dragonlance board game.
I think we should just all play
Dragon Strike.
And we have to watch the VHS.
I have a working VHS and TV in my game room now.
Nice.
And so I haven't tested out my Dragon Strike copy to see if it works, but it will eventually be tested.
Yeah, you definitely should. And then you could get Atmosphere. You can get the old, you can get those old Star Trek VHS games.
It's true with Kurd.
Yes, and there was two of them. I think there was one with the Klingon, and there was one with Cardassians. I think
maybe. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's very very cool. Yeah. You should do that. And then and of course you need to get your copies of the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition on VHS.
I'm okay. No, see, the only movies that I'm going to have on VHS are movies that were specifically made in the 1980s.
Oh, just the 80s? What about super early 90s?
No.
You're missing out. No,
it's going to be specifically like 80s classics.
Okay.
VHS.
I assume you're getting Predator then.
Yeah, like Predator would be a great one to have on VHS. I don't have that one, but. I have the Star Wars movies, which, yes, 1977, I understand. But late 70s is also okay.
Why not early 90s? Like 1990, maybe 91.
No, because none of those movies are worth having on VHS to begin with.
I actually don't know any movies from
1991. Exactly, so don't give me that shit.
No, I mean, there might be good ones. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Yes, if there are good ones, they're the exception to the rule. The exception that proves the rule.
Yes.
So it would be mostly 80s stuff. Like I have the Indiana Jones movies, the Star Wars movies, a couple odds and ends of stuff like Condor Man I have on VHS. If anybody remembers Condor Man, good for you. But yes, most of those I have on the VHS. I actually asked my dad because he was coming over for a little party we were having. And I was like, do you still have a VHS player? And he's like, of course I do. And I was like, I want it. And he goes, you could have it. Inside was a cassette tape from like when he was recording off the TV. The cassette, the latest TV that he had on there was from 2001.
Nice.
And as I went all the way to the back of the tape, there was a baseball game from 1997 taped on there. So that was pretty interesting.
That's good. Vintage tapes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So I'm planning on getting out the Dragon Strike and maybe playing the VHS game.
Yes. Yeah, it's not actually a VHS game. The VHS is designed to be watched before you play the game because it's like a tutorial like example of play and tutorial because they made So the purpose of Dragon Strike, for anyone who's never played it, and I do recommend it, it's really good. So the purpose of Dragon Strike was to on-ramp people onto playing D&D.
Yeah.
So what Dragon Strike is it's basically a watered down D&D. So it's basically like, oh, it's a board game. So, you know, you don't look at it like, oh, Dungeons & Dragons, I don't know how to play that. It seems complicated. This is just a board game. The rules are essentially Dungeons & Dragons. It's not hard. It's pretty simple. But the tape was, oh, man, it's so cheesy. Like, it's so good.
Is Dragon Strike game is hyper-reality VHS video inside.
Yes.
In a time hyper-reality of magic and mystery, heroes rise to the challenge. Adventure Vision game series.
Yes. It's really great. Like watching it, it's very funny. But the video is actually a group of people playing Dragon Strike. It's very funny. It's so cheesy.
You know, I don't think I've ever actually opened my copy of this box because I gotta say the VHS in this is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's just I was not expecting it to have like this beautiful VHS cover for it.
Yep, it looks like a legit movie. It's great.
Ooh, these are fun. I'm gonna play this.
You should. It's great. It is a required romp. The king is hilarious. The special effects are so bad. It's great. I love it.
All right. So and then one last thing, and then we'll have to pause and restart. Spelljammer also got released.
Yeah.
On the 16th. So like about 2 weeks ago. And I bought my copy. It is very, very interesting.
Did you get the alt covers?
I did not get the alt covers.
Oh.
You know, because I don't want it. If it's going to be on my bookshelf, I want all my spines to match, and all those spines don't match. Like, if the alt covers had the same spine, I'd be cool with it. But they don't. They have, like, their alt cover spines. And since I haven't been collecting the alt covers, I don't want the alt covers on my shelf.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Organization.
I mean, from a collector standpoint, I know I'm making a blunder, but I can't do it because they don't look right on my shelf next to everything else.
Yeah, no, that's valid.
I think most people, when they hear, they would go, ah, and then they go, yeah, you're right.
No, that's just valid. I mean, like little details like that can be super annoying. That's like, exactly. It's like one of the reasons collecting N64 games is so obnoxious, because N64 games don't have a proper case. So they also are of a weird shape, and you can't store them in any way that shows the labels. It just because all the tops of the carts look exactly the same. Same for Super Nintendo games. That's why the Genesis collection is always a lot easier, because they came in those nice clamshell cases that had.
Yeah, they did come in those nice clamshell cases.
Mm-hmm. And it had the logo on the side, and like they look really good on a shelf.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that like sometime in, I don't know, the mid 2000s, we kind of just like realized that people like having stuff on a shelf, so we're gonna make it look nice on the shelf.
Yeah, well, and it's also good for, you know, organization purposes, like,
yeah,
like,
exactly,
to find shit, because it's like, yeah, hey, find me my one specific Super Nintendo game out of my, you know, collection of 30. It's just like, well, shit, now I have to look at every game.
Now I have to look at every fucking game. Yeah, the D&D, so Spelljammer. I also bought the vinyl of the soundtrack as well.
Spelljams,
yeah. Who? One of our listeners alerted me to it. I had no idea that it was coming out.
I think it was a post on the page, right?
One of our listeners did it, and I can't find the post right now, so I apologize.
It could be could be Daniel Viswancade.
Any of the.
All of our regulars.
But I listened to it. I was like, oh, this is kind of a neat album. Because I thought, when I heard that there was going to be a soundtrack for it, I was like, it's going to be miserable, because gamers have the worst taste in music. In all honesty, it's either going to sound like video game music, or it's going to be like horrendous synth. And like, don't get me wrong, I love all types of music. You name any type of music genre, there are going to be songs that I'm going to be like, I like this fucking song. I like this song. But gamers have really, really bad taste in music. This was actually a produced album by a musician who is a fan of Dungeons and Dragons. Like he's a member of the Decemberists, and he has his own band and stuff like that.
They do have some synth on there, and it's dope synth.
It is. It's good synth, but it's not like synth as in like some movie soundtracks that I've heard lately that have synth that are horrendous. I'm just like, this is terrible.
That's good. The first track was Magic Sword, so like I knew the album was going to be good.
Yeah, and it's really good. Wild space is this place where wildness is in space.
That's right. Wildness is in space.
It's one of my favorite fucking songs on that album.
That line is so good.
Yeah. It's got like that kind of music, which I really love.
Yeah, it's very spacey.
Yes, because Dungeons and Dragons actually put out a vinyl album back in the 80s as well, which was fantastic, and I've been looking for it for years. It's but the problem is that album is horrible to listen to.
It's not good, and it's also, the adventure is ludicrously high level.
Yes, it's a ludicrously high level, and it's not a good adventure. It's not a good album. I just want it for the collector's sake, but it's not great. Hold on a second. Let's stop, and then we will we'll start up again.
All right,
we are recording. But the so Spelljams is, yes, just a it's put out by Kill Rockstars. Kill Rockstars is doing the vinyl. The vinyl looks gorgeous. It's two disc, you know, colored discs. But the album is produced by Chris Funk, who is a one of the guitarists from the Decemberists. And I don't think you would like the Decemberists, but I kind of like them. And they're very, very hipster.
We've got the funk.
Yes.
We've got the funk.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do. I, if someone has not, if you haven't heard, listened to it yet, I highly recommend it. Especially if you're into gamer music, like you're one of those people, like, I only listen to the soundtrack to drive. Listen to this. It's good. It's good.
The soundtrack to drive.
But fucking gamers have the worst taste in music, Steve.
I mean, I like Kavinsky. That's a good song, but just listening to only this, I don't know. It's funny, when I say I listen to movie soundtracks, I listen to instrumentals, like, you know, like The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but even still, it's like gamers, please branch fucking out. Like you're stuck in a rut, and that makes you horrible.
Yeah, I got plenty of Hololive too.
It's like there's more to music than just video game soundtracks, please. I was I was in a game store, not one of our local ones. It was the one a little further out, but I walked in there and they're playing Teresis. Have you heard of this band?
Teresis.
They're like a power metal band.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard of Teresis.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm listening to it and I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. This is the stupidest shit I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. I don't know if they're as stupid fun as Dragon Force or not Dragon Force.
I mean, it's like a Dragon Force band where you're kind of like, it's fun, but at the same time how is anybody listening to this non-ironically?
Yeah. I mean, it's just silly.
It's like, fun. Like don't get me wrong. It's fun. But how can you listen to it unironically? That's the problem.
I don't know, man. I just put on my recommends and let the algorithm take it away.
I'm a picky person. I've always said that. I love all types of music, but I'm going to be the type of person that even though I'm not picky in what I like to listen to, I'm picky about what I'm listening to. So if I'm listening to rap, I fucking love rap. I work out to Cardi B every morning and I absolutely adore it. But every once in a while, like a song will come onto my mix that I'll just be like, this is the stupidest fucking song I've ever heard. And I get really mad about it.
Yeah. Usually when I'm actually listening to music, it's specifically because it's just, I just want background noise at work. So I usually don't like stuff with lyrics like at all. It's just because I'm, I have to talk to people.
You need something in the background to distract you from the fact that you're slowly dying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. See, I like music that makes me feel like I'm alive, Steve. Alive. Anyway, Spelljammer.
I got the drugs for that.
Yeah, I have that as well. Spelljammer. You get your three books. You get your DM screen. The DM screen's really nice. The books are fun. The only thing in there that made me really excited is the fact that you can have a giant hamster follow you around carrying your stuff.
Yeah, you need a space hamster.
You need a space hamster. A giant space hamster. Because there are space hamsters and giant space hamsters.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's the only thing that I've taken out of the books since I've gone through there that I actually really care about is like, why wouldn't you want a giant space hamster to carry you and to carry your stuff?
Also, you can play as goo.
You can play as goo. So those people who are really into goo play could finally have their D&D. Like, that's just what it needs to be. D&D just needs to release their fetish book. So you could have your giantess. You could have your character that does vor, your true furry characters.
If you're doing it right, D&D books are already fetish books.
They are. You are correct in that. But I'm saying they need to like specifically point it out. Like here you go, you perverts. Here's your book with the character who has giant feet. So yes, that should exist so that people can have their fetish book.
I ain't gonna yuck their yum.
I'm not yucking their yum. I'm just saying that we don't necessarily need their yum in D&D.
It's not your D&D. It's one D&D.
It's one D&D. It's our D&D. That's what it should have been called. Our D&D.
Our D&D.
Yeah. So that way it's like, get your goo play out of my D&D. No, no, no. It's our D&D.
It's our D&D. It's our goo play.
Not that I'm saying anything against goo play. It's fine. It's just, most people who will play it will be fine, but you'll get that one person who'll be like, I'm gonna play the goo person.
Yeah. I was tickled pink by the your suggested 3D printer because it's called an Elegoo.
Yes.
I love the fact that it's called a goo because I was thinking about it. Like I really probably should get one for Old World.
Yeah. I think everybody should get a 3D printer at this point. They are not necessarily a push button get model. There is a little bit of work that you have to do, but I don't think that there will ever be anything outside of what I'm basically going to show you with it. You can get pre-supported models. They don't always work as well because the designer of that model probably designed it for his specific printer, which is slightly different than yours. So it might not necessarily work as well. Some of them do work incredibly well, like pre-supported models. Some of them don't. I absolutely adore Titanforge models. And I've talked about them before. I think that they're the best Patreon out there. And everybody should, if they have a 3D printer, subscribe to Titanforge. The only difference is I don't think their pre-supported models work on my machine. That's perfectly fine. They're working on whatever Polish machine they got out there. You know, they're working on the Polska 5000. It doesn't necessarily work the same as my printer. So their pre-supports don't always work for me, but that's fine. I just make my own supported models and they work just fine. because I took more than the 5 seconds to learn how the machine works so I could do that.
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
It does. It sounds like a lot of work to just sit and going on, you know, you put them into the slicer and then you press one button twice and then another button. And then it's like, oh, now I can print my models. Woohoo.
Man, this is high effort here.
Three buttons.
If it was only two buttons, you know, maybe we'd be talking about a whole third.
Well, a third button on there.
But yeah, I definitely want to get in on some Old World. I've been jonesing for it. That and War Master.
Well, Old World's not. I was telling you before. I don't think Old World is going to be slotted till 24.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
From everything I'm hearing, 23 is Dungeons and Dragons. Not Dungeons and Dragons 10th. Warhammer 40K 10th. Because Dungeons and Dragons is scared shitless to come to a new edition. Warhammer's like, fucking dare me. I'll fucking do it again. I got 13 editions coming out.
I did hear that the current version of 40K is much improved.
It's much improved, but that doesn't mean that they won't reboot it to
They definitely need to do a new edition. No, it's like the consensus I've been reading is like it's much improved. It's probably as balanced as it's going to get. So it is actually time for a new edition. Like that's the agreed upon consensus, which is good. I mean that's good. That's the opinion you want to have because as much as people like complain about new editions, be like, you know, yeah, more money, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. That's right, but it also keeps the game interesting.
It does because
it shakes things up and like, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, like you might be annoyed because it's like, oh, they're making the armies bad, so I gotta buy new ones. Like, yeah, but A, you were gonna do that anyway. Like, you were already gonna buy a new army. Don't lie to me and tell me that you weren't. But B, like, additions get solved, and like once an addition is solved, like there's no way to it's gonna grow stale, like, and possibly very rapidly depending on how solved the solution is. Like when when Parking Lot Edition was like, I don't remember which specific number it was, but it's colloquially referred to as Parking Lot Edition of 40K. Like once people realized how absolutely busted just like literally putting as many tanks as possible into your army was, the edition was solved and it was boring and awful because every game was just a bunch of like again, parking lots. It was really shitty.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't actually want that. So
yeah, no, I do agree on that. I think what Games Workshop needs to do is needs to redirect its marketing around Warhammer and legitimately say to people, it's like, you need one army, one book, and your army book and your rule book. That's what you need, because too many people I think get burnt out trying to buy everything to stay competitive.
Right.
And that's where they're losing players. So they need just to redirect how they're marketing the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they could, like, in a short term, there are people who will buy as much as they can for a certain edition, but those people are going to get burnt out very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And you're losing more players that way, when you can gain more by saying it's less of an investment, even though it might not necessarily be less of an investment, but that's all you have to say. It's less of an investment to just do this, this, and this. And you could still play, and they'll make more money because that person will stick with the game longer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they just need to design as many armies as possible to just.
Why not line go up, Steve?
Why no line go up forever, infinite? Yeah, they just need to design more armies that are like, you know, kind of like how like Stormcast and Space Marines are, where it's just like the army's kind of designed for you to like get a starting force and get a little bit here, a little bit there, figure out kind of what you want. I think a good chunk of the 40K armies are like that, minus the Xenos. I think the Xenos factions are all kind of hosed, minus Orcs, because they have a huge repertoire of minis. Because like a lot of the Xenos armies, they just don't have as many like troop variants, so their lists get solved fast. We're just like, yep, just take. No, it's like, Tau, take six hammerheads. Like, what about other? Take six hammerheads. It's like, but what? No, take six hammerheads.
Well, you're right. And getting back to what I'm saying is that they're doing another edition of. So getting back to the point, they're doing another edition of 40K probably next summer. I don't know what it's going to be. I haven't heard any rumors or rumblings about any design changes, but
I don't know for sure.
I mean, if anyone's interested, just look at if it is slated for next year, the Squat book will be designed with it in mind. So
that's very, you know what, you are correct on that. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. So like, you can get your hints from there.
Yeah. So that means that Old World will probably get pushed back to 2024 if it's going to be considered a core game. I think like it originally was. If it's a specialist game, it could be released in December of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could be hearing about rumblings of December of 2022. I think this is when it was originally supposed to be slated for release, was 2022, if I remember correctly.
Or they never gave it an actual release.
Yeah, they were like, it's going to be 3 to 4 years off. And that was like 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah, they were like, we're working on it. So,
yeah. So we'll see if anything comes out of it. I think Total War coming out, and now with Immortal Empires kind of reviving Total War 3, I think it's heating up fantasy again.
Oh yeah.
I think, and I also think GW has been doing hints of like, we're going to bring back the Old World, because they've been re-releasing a lot of the old books, not only in paperback, but also in audiobook format.
Yes.
They didn't even do when the books came out.
Ton of Gotrek and Felix books are on Black Library now. I was super excited about that.
Yeah. And so the thing that pisses me off is there's more to the Old World books than Felix and Gotrek, but that's kind of just what everybody sees.
Oh yeah, no, there's tons of great Old World books. I'm just like, they just uploaded the Gotrek and Felix stuff first, which is fine. Like, as long as they just keep them coming, baby. Just keep those old world books coming.
So by the way, the Old World was announced on November 15th, 2019.
Wow.
So that's, we're officially hitting 3 years.
Hey, there you go. All right. So, yeah. Well, I guess they're not out of the timeline yet. They said three to four. So,
well, GW was at pains to make clear this is a long way off.
Yes.
Years, more than two, likely three or more.
Yes. Yeah. They
so we are at 3 years now. So,
yeah, I'm hyped for that. I actually listened to the Brian Blessed Gotrek audio stories. They were great. They were absolutely great. I recommend them. They were very fun.
They are very good. He has absolutely no idea what he's doing.
He's great though.
He knows what he's doing. He has no idea who the character is.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
Yes. He just goes in there and reads the line as Brian Blessed, but Gotrek is written in such a way that Gotrek is blind Brian Blessed. So
yep, why not? Absolutely worked. One of my favorite lines in there they're talking about, he's like, where are we going to next? And then one of the characters is like, it's the realm of beasts, Gotrek. You'll like it. And he goes, ooh, beasts.
that's a pretty good blind Brian Blessed impersonation.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the Old World will be, it depends on what we're, because me and you were talking like, yes, they're going to release the new stuff for like Kislev and
Kislev, Bretonnia, Cathay.
Well, they're specifically have shown stuff for like Cathay and Kislev.
Yeah, they laid out the map areas for Bretonnia as well. So there's definitely gonna be Bretonnia.
So we'll see how that's gonna play out. But I also think if they're re-releasing old minis like plastics, where me and you were kind of debating about how they're gonna do that, I'm thinking that it's probably gonna be like a splash release. Like, we're doing Bretonnians now. We're gonna make all these Bretonnian, you know, box sets, and this is what you're gonna use.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's like they're probably gonna disappear and go on like special order or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested to see though.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea, because it is a lot of SKUs depending upon what they're doing with this game.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's like, who knows? Like, I mean, they obviously are keeping it all under wraps, but it's like, what if they do like a more, I mean, it sounds too insane for Workshop to ever do it, but like, what if they do a less pieces, more models style of kit, where it's like you buy a box of Empire Men and there are 30 Empire Men in there, but they're like, you know, not necessarily single piece, but maybe single or two piece push fit models.
I mean, that's kind of what they were getting towards at the end of 8th edition. Most of the multi-parts that they were releasing towards the end of eighth was only like three or four parts.
Yeah. So what if they really like lean into the whole, like, we are we're going to do big armies and we're actually going to release big kits, like with lots of figures.
Yeah. You know? As you said earlier, I think it's too insane for them to actually do that.
Yeah. I mean, we are talking about Workshop here, but like, I would be interested to see it if they did.
I honestly just think it's going to be re-releases of their old kits.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. And I think what you may see, you'll probably end up seeing a special order, like, and you'll get them. They'll be in white boxes, nothing fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no box art.
So
maybe,
who knows?
Maybe someone will finally buy a brand new Zacharias the Never Selling.
Hey, I did. I bought a Zacharias the Never Selling. He wouldn't get re-released anyway because the entire Undead range was redone for 8th edition and they'll just use those models.
Yes, of course.
So yes, that's on that end. One last thing that I wanted to mention before we ended up. Sorry, my throat's a little dry because allergies. But Games Workshop actually did a huge strike against a lot of 3D models that were on the 3D modeling sites, Cults and Thingiverse.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them got taken down. This was their first time they've done it in about a year or so. So a lot of newer printers were like, oh my God, they're going away. We can't find them. And all of us veterans are like, they do this like once a year, dude, just calm the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they clean it out. They clean it out. We make them again. And then they clean it out again.
The only reason why this is interesting this time is because I know that a couple like Cults pushed back and said no to Games Workshop. Like, this is uncopyright and you can't enforce your copyright on this. So they said, like, yes, you can strike it down because it has the eagle, like the double-headed eagle, but you can't say the entire thing is your design, sort of thing, if that makes sense.
I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The logo is there. So if they just put the figure back up without the logo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like none of my stuff got struck down because none of it had the eagle on it or anything specific like that on there.
Right, right.
Because Games Workshop can strike down the Ultramarine symbol, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's just an Omega. Like you can't say that's yours.
Yeah. An upside down Omega though. It's upside down, Steve.
That's just an Omega.
And also anything that does get struck down exists in other parts of the internet that are less accessible. So what Games Workshop does is when they take something like that, they put it to another place where it can never go away. And then it becomes a larger problem for them because they start, you get people who are like, get pushed to looking in these places that they're going to be able to find stuff that was previously inaccessible because now it is free and cheap.
Oh, you think there's like a Streisand effect kind of going on?
Kind of, yeah. So like people will go like, oh my God, I can't get this, you know, Ultramarine shoulder pad that I had before. And then there's like some guy and goes, well, try this website instead or this program instead. And then the person will go there and be like, oh, I have all this other stuff I can use now.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I was talking about this with some people. It's like, I love 3D printing. But they were like, well, what about, you know, people when they find out that you 3D print? I go, number one, I don't advertise that it's 3D. If someone asks, like, where'd you get that from? I go, oh, I 3D printed it, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't advertise saying, like, look at my 3D printed fucking army, right?
Right, right.
And every once in a while, there'll be a person who's like, you're killing the hobby. But most people are just like, could you print me some pieces? Could you do that for me? Like, that's what I generally get more than anything is people just asking, like, if I could print them shit. And Games Workshop has to see that writing on the wall. It's like you could get a decent printer to print out bits and your figures for less sub $200 at this point. And $200 doesn't even buy you, you know, a quarter of the army that you need to play most of these games.
Right, right.
So they got to be careful about what they're doing there because I think that they're pushing more people towards 3D printing and pirating by advertising it as much as they are, that they're taking these strikes down on it. But as I say, you know, Cult saying that they're not taking certain things down is going to be huge for against Games Workshop, because you know they did lose their lawsuit against those bits chapter manufacturers. Yeah. And if it ever gets taken to court, they could
Chapter
lose
House.
Even
Chapter
bigger.
House. That's what it was. Chapter House.
Yeah, Chapter House. They could lose even bigger when the against the 3D market. Like if they can never take down something that's in the 3D market, they're going to be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it just takes like one or two people with some money and, you know, for the shiggles to go do that. Like someone who made a lot of money off GameStop, you know, countersuing Games Workshop is going to be hysterical someday.
Right.
Doing it for the lulz.
Yeah. Well, you might be right. I don't know. I think that they should probably just not do that. Just like shrug their shoulders about it and be like, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, perfect example. I tell people all the time, like you have to, you know, you can be concerned about piracy, like sure, but you really need to look at it and you need to look at your sales. So I'll use what we were just talking about. One of the most pirated games out there, period. Like ever, D&D. D&D is like one of the most pirated games to have ever existed in the history of ever.
Yeah. Back in the day of fucking photocopies.
Yeah, I mean, and still right now in fifth edition, yeah. it is extraordinary.
I'm just saying all the way back to.
Oh yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's still here. It's still making gobs of money, and it's still growing in, you know, in profit every year. So like, maybe just shrug your shoulders and just be like, we're just gonna keep doing what we're doing, because if you do keep making a product that people love, they'll keep buying it. Like they really will.
Speaking of, and this going back to my D&D, our D&D discussion, that's something that they fucking need to do. Is what they need to do is they need to like really separate out and say, like, these are books that you buy if you're a DM, these are books you'd buy if you're a player. Like if they put more like player's guide on this, like this is a player necessary book, they will sell more of those books.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, no, that makes sense.
But they don't, so people get confused when they're looking at it, like, I don't really need Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, when you're in reality, you're like, no, you fucking need that book to play the game.
Yeah, that's a huge player's book. It's like, oh, yeah. how would I know that?
Mm. Mordenkainen's, what's it called?
Tome of Foes?
No, not the Tome of Foes. Multiverse?
Oh, yes. Mordenkainen's Guide to the Multiverse.
Yeah, that actually has a fuck ton of player characters to play, like of player races to play. And people are like, well, it's just Mordenkainen's Monsters of the Multiverse. I don't really need it. It's like, no, you fucking need that book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's annoying. Like they need to be a little bit better about how they market that shit.
I agree. Something like on the back that says players or DMs or players and DMs.
Yeah. Like what they should do is, remember how they used to have the red books and blue books?
Yes.
Like they need to have like a specific like red thing that says like red, like a little, this red, a little red thing means that it's a player book. This blue thing means that it's a DM book.
Yeah, I saw a couple. I saw some online. I saw some of the old red and blue books in Japanese, and I really want to hunt them down.
You should.
They look fucking awesome. The art is so sick.
Yeah, I mean, you should. The but anyway. So yeah, that was my thing with the 3D printing. And I also like it. What's really always funny is that whenever piracy comes up, everybody turns into a fucking lawyer. and when it really comes down to it, is lawyers are really pulling things out of their ass and saying, but this guy did this. And then they're like, and the judge is like, and they ruled this way, so we're going to go with this.
Yes.
Like that's all lawyering is like,
you are correct.
Yeah. It's like, this is what this is rules as written, judge. You know, it's basically, yes, it's a tabletop argument.
Yes,
like,
it is.
This is the rules as written.
We're arguing.
The tournament judge said this in the last game.
It's arguing spirit of the rules versus raw every time.
Well, and then you also say that the TO in this tournament ruled this.
Yes.
You are correct on that. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with that TO here.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm going to take it up to a higher TO, the supreme TO.
The supreme TO. That's
because that was always my problem is like I'm sitting there you know, like when people ask me to print something, I will sometimes be like, well, you need to buy the file before I print this for you. And they're like, but you already have it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not really fair to the person that I'd be printing it off of, because you know they make money off of it that way. And you know, I don't normally, I don't mind, but if I don't know you and what's going on, just fucking pay the guy and I will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but then there are other people who are like, well, you can't sell that because, you know, you don't own the rights to sell that. I'm like, hey, it's the internet. It really doesn't matter. This guy's not going to sue me in any way, shape or form. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all honor system. You really got to understand that. like that's what the internet for like 3D printing has become. It's like honor system. Yes, there are certain things and like the really the people who are keeping up with this. The honor system are like eBay and Facebook, like the places right. where you sell these 3D printed models, because that's the only people who can really enforce it.
Right.
But trust me, I've seen some of my designs being sold on like Etsy and shit like that. And I've had to go step in and say, yeah, don't sell that. Like, it's not designed to be sold. It's designed for people who want to use it and print their own stuff, not to have being printed by someone else. Like, I don't care if they hire someone to do it, but I don't want you advertising that you're doing it.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's just, it's dumb. It's
common courtesy.
It's common courtesy. That's exactly it. Thank you, Steve. Anything else before we get going?
I don't think so.
What about Aragorn? You said something about Aragorn.
Oh, yes. How could I forget? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they released the art for Battle of Pelennor Fields for the Magic Lord of the Rings set. And Aragorn is dark-skinned. So obviously the nerds are taking it well.
Yeah, I mean, seriously,
which really cracks me up. It was just very funny. Like, I was like, but he's white. And it's like, who said he was white? Like, did you read the books? Tolkien describes rangers as darker than the men of Bree, and they never actually explicitly say what Aragorn looks like. He says he has dark hair. The only things that are specifically said about Aragorn appearance wise is he had dark hair and piercing eyes, I believe, is the only specific physical descriptions of Aragorn.
I'm not 100% sure, but I didn't think Tolkien described him as thick.
He might have said thick. Yes, that is actually true. And the thing that's funny
thicker
about
than a bowl of grandma's oatmeal.
Thicker than a bowl of Farmer Maggot's oatmeal.
Yeah.
But the thing is really actually kind of funny about this is that he probably just would look like Cheddar Man, essentially. Like, which I mean, if anyone's seen what Cheddar Man looks like, that makes sense.
Cheddar Goblin?
Not the Cheddar Goblin. No, there's a fossil named the Cheddar Man. They reconstruct him. But I digress. He was also brown in the fucking Ralph Bakshi movie. Like, yeah, he was voiced by John Hurt, but like that Aragorn is brown. Yeah, he was great. But like, I don't know. It's just nerds losing their fucking minds. It's really,
you know, it's basically they're taking away our heroes. Like, no, they're not.
You're just so racist. You can't have a black man be your hero.
Yeah,
that's literally what it is. It's like you can have someone outside your race be a hero. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Like,
yeah, it is. Know, okay.
I love Idris Elba. I think he's a gorgeous man.
He'd play a cool Aragorn. That's the thing. The other thing is like, who fucking cares?
Who fucking cares? Exactly.
It's like okay, like yeah, okay. You're so racist. You only want white Aragorn. Okay, well, Viggo Mortensen in the movies is right there for you. So,
and he's about as white as you can get.
Yeah. So yeah, his name's Viggo, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's not white in like a typical sense of like just eating sandwiches with mayonnaise.
True.
But you know, he's a very white skinned man.
Yeah. So the eating sandwiches with just mayonnaise. But yeah. So like,
I'm having a tomato sandwich with mayonnaise and just a little bit of pepper on it. You fucking horrible human being.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I like tomatoes, but I've never thought to just eat just tomato.
I think it's a Southern thing. Like, you just literally put mayonnaise on a bread and then they're going to yell at you and be like, it's got to be fucking Duke's mayonnaise. And you're like, fuck off, asshole. And then they put the tomato down and a little bit of pepper on it. And then it is like, you know, that's all they eat.
Is that like a real thing? Are you fucking with me?
I think it's like a poor person food thing. Like when I was a kid and I used to eat like spray cheese on a cracker.
You ever see the thing where you can jam the nozzle into the bottom of the Ritz and then pull the trigger and it like spirals out on top of the Ritz perfectly?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
It's pretty cool.
That's an old trick.
I know. I ain't never seen it before.
Well, and, you know, in the UK they actually have bread sandwiches.
A bread sandwich.
Yeah, which is a slice of bread in between two other slices of bread.
Are you fucking with me?
No. It's further proof that the British took over a half the world and didn't do anything to their cuisine.
Are you fucking with me right now? Bread sandwich?
Conquered the world for spices and did nothing with them.
Well, they eat curry, which is good.
Yeah, but they also designed, like, most of the curry dishes in the UK are nothing like curry dishes in the rest of the world.
I've never been to the UK, so I can't say. But you know what? I will stand Monster Munch.
You could stand your Monster Munch.
I fucking love Monster Munch.
Because the one spice that the British invented, or that the British use regularly, is vinegar.
Well, only one of them was vinegar. The other one is roast beef.
Roast beef, yes. There you go. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna finish up here. So go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes, like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes.
The other
best way you can help out the podcast is by doing that, giving us a like, apparently. I don't know how this whole thing works. We've been doing this so long that the internet has changed around us.
You like, comment, and subscribe.
But you like, comment, and subscribe. You hit that subscribe button, you punch it. Smash that bell. Yes. Otherwise, we're just going to turn into a Minecraft podcast. Because that's what kids live.
Minecraft and Roblox.
You could follow me on Instagram at GameClassyJoe. You could follow Steve on at Twitter at @command_throw. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
I'm assuming so. All right. So, Steve, until next time.
You dare refuse my pachal?
Game Classy.